You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is a conclusion of what I'm calling the Bethlehem series. Let me give you a quick summary of the first four parts. Today is part five. Part one, I called it Bethlehem Basics. It included Bible appearances of the word Bethlehem, the meaning of the word Bethlehem. Anyone remember what it means? Very good. House of bread. So interesting that in the house of bread is where was born the bread of life, the one we need for heaven. Also, too, in that first part, we came to various names used for Bethlehem, like Ephrathah. And then also we took a look at the modern-day city of Bethlehem, a city of about 25,000 and dominated by Muslims today, but still a number of Christians living in that city today. In parts two and three, we focused on the book of Ruth. So the book began and ended in Bethlehem. It helps us see that from the time of Joshua, when the descendants of Abraham, when they came into the promised land, those descendants that would be the ones through whom the Savior would come, in other words, the descendants of Judah, they ended up living in Bethlehem. And then in part four, which was last night, we took a look at God's grand plan for his son to be born in Bethlehem. So we began with Adam and Eve. We continued with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We touched on the Book of Ruth connection, which I just mentioned. We explained David's connection to Bethlehem. We touched on the Micah prophecy that we have about the Savior's birth being in Bethlehem. And then we got into the first part of Luke chapter 2, which included the decree by Caesar Augustus, and then Joseph and Mary then traveling to Bethlehem. So we've gone through all of that already, and now here we are in part 5. So we come today to the Savior's birth in Bethlehem, we come to the announcement by an angel, and we also come to the shepherd's visit. So we're going to look at things that are pretty familiar to us, I think, but let's hear them again. It is the Christmas story. Let's understand them hopefully a little bit better today. May we also see how there is some application even in our own lives. First of all, coming to the Savior's birth in Bethlehem, we go to Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 6, and the Bible says, "And while they," that is Joseph and Mary, "were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth." Sometimes it's depicted that they're just arriving in Bethlehem and it's a big panic and Mary's going to have the baby at any second. But the Bible really doesn't tell it that way, though. It makes it more exciting if you're watching a movie. However, though, it says they went there, they arrived there, and while they were there, that's when she had the baby. And the Bible says she gave birth to her firstborn son. What is that implying? It's implying that there was a secondborn and maybe a thirdborn and a fourthborn son. And actually, you can look up different things in the Bible, and a number of things would support her having multiple children. And then the Bible says that the child was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Well, if we think about the journey from Nazareth in the north to Bethlehem in the south, we're talking about 100 miles or so, and not such an easy thing for two people, probably a very pregnant woman and so on, not being able to jump in the car or take a plane or whatever it might be, but probably walking or maybe riding on a donkey. So just a quick comparison here for something fun. Let's think about the difference between Joseph and Mary making the trip versus the President of the United States making the same trip. So for Joseph and Mary, maybe traveling by themselves, maybe they knew a couple other people and they were traveling basically to the same place, so maybe traveling together. Well, if the president was going to do it, he would have a motorcade that included 40 to 50 vehicles and probably over 100 people. And if he chose, though, to fly in a helicopter, it wouldn't be just his helicopter, but there would be five other helicopters. So anyone on the ground who had an RPG, they wouldn't know which helicopter to shoot down. And then if he decided to take Air Force One, it would cost $200,000 an hour in order to get him from one place to another. So quite a difference, though. Like in the world today, though, we think, oh, the president is so important. Look at all that stuff. Look at all those people. Look at all that money. But when we really get it right, though, we realize that the babe born in Bethlehem is like a zillion times more important than the president of the United States. So let's keep it in perspective, and let's also rejoice. For example, if I tried to call the president, I'm pretty sure he would not take my call. However, though, God wants us to be in a true and close relationship with him so we can call upon him at any time. He is even with us in a way we can't understand in order to bless us and help us, carry us through this life, and one day take us into his glorious presence forever and ever. Wow, we are so blessed by the babe of Bethlehem. What about this idea that there was no room in the inn? I don't think we can really know for certain why that was so, but let me just speculate here for a moment. I think it is possible that Jesus, rather than being born on December 25th, and of course that was because of the celebration of the days when daylight was increasing. So we know on December 21, we have the most darkness of the entire year. And by the time we get to December 25, now there's a little bit more daylight. And the pagans used to have a big celebration celebrating the daylight. What are we doing? The Christians took that and said, yeah, daylight's a great blessing, but we're celebrating the light of the world, as I read about in John chapter 1. So they basically took that day and said, let's make that the celebration of the Savior's birth. However, though, I think it's possible he was born in September. I say that in part because if we think about September, that is one of the times for one of the Jewish festivals. And the one I'm thinking about here is the one called Sukkot, also known as Tabernacles, and that's one of the ones where all of the Jewish men were required to come for this seven-day festival. So with Bethlehem being close to Jerusalem, Jerusalem being packed full of all these people, that would spill over into Bethlehem, and there would be no room in the inn. That's one possibility. Another possibility here that ties in with that would be with John the Baptizer. So we know he was 6 months older than Jesus, and there are people who strongly believe that he was born at the time of Passover in the spring. So if we think about Passover in the spring, go ahead 6 months, we come to September. So also a possibility. And also, too, it could simply be because of this registration. So Caesar said, go to your hometown and register. Many, many people were on the move, and maybe that's why there was no room in the inn. We don't know exactly, but when it comes to things like that, we're not going to take a stand on anything. It's kind of interesting to think about it and maybe to know why this or why that. But again, the most important thing, though, is that God loves us so much that he did send his son. He fulfilled all the prophecies, and we can know for sure he is God in human flesh. He did all he promised to do, and through him we have the forgiveness of our sins. Let's go on to the announcement by an angel. First of all, dealing here with the shepherds. So the Bible says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. In other words, out in the field, just outside of Bethlehem. And the Bible says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So why announce to the shepherds, though? Why not announce to the much more important people living in the big homes in Jerusalem? Why announce to these lowly shepherds living outside of Bethlehem? Well, keep in mind, the Savior came for everyone. He came for those who are the highest, and he came for those who are the lowest. Where are we? Well, we're certainly not the highest. I don't see that anyone has armed security with them this morning. And we're not the lowest either, because we are in a comfortable building and we are nicely dressed, so we're somewhere in between. But if he came for the highest and he came for the lowest, that means he came for you and me too. That is great news. God wants us to know that. And then think about the reaction, though, of the shepherds. It says, when they saw the angel, they were afraid. That's a natural reaction. When they saw the glory of the Lord, an amazing thing. I haven't seen an angel. I haven't seen the glory of the Lord. But if I saw it, it would be an amazing thing, but also a terrifying thing, and part terrifying in this reason too, because we are unholy and the angels are holy and the glory of the Lord is holy, and for holy and unholy to be together, that doesn't mix. That's why we need the Christ of Christmas, because he makes us holy in the sight of God. Also, too, you might have noticed here that the angel appeared at night, the Bible said. So when the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night, that's when the angel appeared. So it would seem that we can conclude that the Savior was born at night. Going on to the angel now, the Bible says that the angel said to them, to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." When it comes to fear, fear causes us to draw back, to want to back away from whatever the fearful thing is. If there's an explosion, do you want to run to it? No, you want to draw away from it. Well, with saying, "Fear not," the angel was really saying, "Draw near to me. Be curious. I have something wonderful to say to you," is really what was going on there. And he wanted them to know that what I have to say, it is good news for everyone, even for you shepherds. And then he announced, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So the angel said many important things about this Savior, and this is a Savior that was there for everyone. The angel said he was born today. The angel said he was born for you. The angel said he was born in the city of David. That means he was born in Bethlehem. And he said the Savior is wrapped up and he's lying in a manger. In a sense, he was saying, when you guys go in there to town, and we don't quite know how big Bethlehem was at the time. Some people estimate there were about 300 people living in Bethlehem at that time. So it wouldn't be like 10 people, and right away, oh, there's the baby, that's who it is. There might have been a number of babies there. So now they're going to go into town, they're going to search, and how are they going to know which baby? They're going to know when they find a baby that is wrapped up and is lying in a manger, that is lying in an animal feeding trough. Not a typical place for a baby to be laying, but when they find that particular baby, then they will know they've got the right baby. And then we come here to the Gloria in Excelsis. So what does that mean? That means glory to God in the highest. So when we think about that hymn of praise that we sing sometimes, that takes us right to this passage. So going to verse 13 here in Luke chapter 2, it says, "And suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." To get the impact of this scene, think about these things. Realize that these angels, they witnessed God creating the world. And when I say that, keep in mind the passage that I read earlier from Hebrews 1. So who was creating the world? That was God the Father working through the Son of God to create the world. So the angels witnessed God creating. The angels witnessed the sadness of mankind falling into sin. And the angels heard the promise that God made that in time, I will send my Son and he will take away the sin of the world. And can you imagine these angels? They're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for 4,000 years. And finally, they get to come and make the announcement and they greatly glorify God. But think about this, though. All they were doing is saying, God, you are such an awesome God. You made such an amazing promise, and now you have fulfilled it. But were the angels benefiting from what God had done? Not at all. We are the beneficiaries of what God has done. So because the angels glorified God, how much more should we glorify God, the ones who are actually reaping the benefits of the Savior born in Bethlehem? And then we conclude here with the shepherds' visit. So, first of all, they decided. The Bible says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So there's no indication there in the text that the shepherds doubted what the angels said. Instead, they believed the angel. They knew the message was from the Lord, and they wanted to see the Christ child for themselves. So that's simply what they were doing. And then we see that they found him. So the Bible says, and they went with haste. In other words, they were hurrying, running. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Can you imagine the excitement of those lowly shepherds? So the angel appeared to them. They were nobodies, and yet the angel appeared to them. And the Savior who was born, he was born for them. A very personal thing. When, by God's grace, we don't figure this out on our own, but when, by God's grace, we truly grasp the power of our sin to eternally condemn us, then, and only then, will we long for Jesus who has eternally saved us. That's why in the Lutheran churches, we preach law and gospel. So the law goes forth showing that we are lost and helpless. That's the bad news. And when that really grips us, then we're like, God, I know I'm lost. I know I can't fix it. Help me. And then God points us to Jesus and said, you are helped. I've already done it. In him, your sins are forgiven. In him, heaven is open for you. And then with the shepherds, they told. So the Bible says, and when they saw it, talking about the whole scene with Mary and Joseph and the baby, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So with the shepherds, what happened here? They heard the message, they saw the Savior, and they told others the good news. And you can imagine, they were so excited about it, because first of all, it was for them, and then they wanted others to know and benefit too. What about us? Have we laid eyes on the babe of Bethlehem? We have not, but with the eyes of faith, though, we have seen him. Let us rejoice that through him we are saved, and may that motivate us then to tell others the good news so that they might be saved too. Finally, at the end here, they glorified. So the Bible says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let me conclude with these three statements, and maybe we can apply these to ourselves as well. So the shepherds had been low, but God lifted them up. The shepherds had been full of fear, maybe because of the angel appearance and the glory of God, maybe because of their sin, but God filled them with joy. The shepherds may have been quiet, thinking, who cares what we have to say? But then God gave them much to say about their Savior, and they went forth and they did that very thing. I hope you can see how all of that applies to us. We are like the shepherds, and now we are greatly blessed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, when we were without you, at that time in our lives, we were doomed. But now, knowing of your work and having received the gift of faith by which we trust in you as our Savior, help us to realize that we are so very blessed. And now, going forward in our lives, even as we go forward today, together with family and friends, possibly, help us that we would reflect you, the true light of the world, to them. And not that we can save anyone, but we pray that people might know of their sin, they might know that you are the one way, and they might gladly receive you and rejoice in you too. In your holy name, we glorify you, we thank you, we honor you, and we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.